Our scripture today is taken, first of all, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, with these familiar verses. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And when they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Then in John chapter 19, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had at first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, as the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
I am an old man, and I am very tired, and I am very poor. That was not always the case. At one time, I was a very prosperous man. I was a young man, and I was full of life, and did I say I was a prosperous man? Prosperity was all that I wanted in my younger days. I had no time for a wife. I had no time for children. They cost plenty of money. All I wanted as a young man was to be prosperous. And so I was. I was an owner and operator of a little establishment of lodging there in Bethlehem, an inn. Perhaps you would call it maybe a motel in your day. And if you do not know, Bethlehem is a little quaint city, and it lies just about 6 to 7 miles south of the holy city, Jerusalem. And as luck would have it, and surely the gods were smiling down upon me, because my inn was the only inn in town, and Bethlehem was right on the major routes coming from Egypt and also coming from Hebron. And so all of the pilgrims who were coming to Jerusalem for the feast day, they would often come by my inn there in Bethlehem. And the caravans and those who wished to trade and sell their wares then in the holy city Jerusalem, they would also come. And many of them would stay in my establishment because Jerusalem had a reputation. It was a very expensive place, and it was also not very safe there, especially at night. And so many of the pilgrims to Jerusalem would stay there in Bethlehem. And that was wonderful, because I was becoming more and more prosperous all the time. Did I say to you that I wanted to be a prosperous man? And as luck would have it, and certainly the gods were smiling down upon it, because here this pompous king, sitting on the seat of the Caesars up there in Rome, he devised this great scheme of his to have all of his subjects enrolled. He wanted to number them so he could better tax them. And he sent out his decree in all of the world that all of his subjects would get up and they would go back to their place of ancestry, and there they would be enrolled, and there he would know who they were and how many there were, and he could tax them. Now, as you would say in your day, on paper, this looked great. But in reality, it didn't have a prayer. That pompous Augustus, he would need all of the armies of the world. He would need all the civil service that Rome had to enforce this decree. It was simply impractical. So every place that there were a large enough standing armies and enough civil servants, this decree came to some moderate success. And such was the case in and around Jerusalem. But I didn't care. I didn't care that it caused hardship upon these people. I didn't care that this pompous so-and-so, a man who thought he was a god, was dictating this. All I cared, and you must understand, I wanted to be a prosperous man, was that people would come to my inn. They would pour into Bethlehem because I was there at Bethlehem, and this was the city of David. And many would come to my establishment to be enrolled, and I would be prosperous many times more. Finally, that night came. I was busy in my inn, and customers were everywhere, and my servant boy came up to me and said that there was a man to see me at the side door. I immediately left what I was doing, and I went to the side door, and I said, "Can I help you, sir? Can I help you with this?" And the man standing at the door, he simply said to me, "Do you have a room for tonight?" And I looked over his shoulder, and there upon a donkey was this woman. And she was draped in this beautiful long linen. I can remember that. And I also can remember that I could not see her because how dark it was. But there was a bright object in the sky. The Magi had said that it was a comet. Whatever it be, it was brighter than a bright moon that night. She turned her face and she looked at me. And all I could see were her eyes coming through the veil. And I remember how beautiful they were. How young they were. How very tired they were. And I also noticed right away how very pregnant she was. And I thought to myself, you have to understand, I was in a quandary. I was getting 5 times the average cost of those rooms in my inn. And I was putting 5 and 6 people per room. And now this man comes, and I knew he was modest and did not have the money. And he needed a full room for his wife all alone because she was expecting. And I could not afford that prophecy. You understand, I wanted to be a prosperous man. And I simply said to him, "Sir, I have no room for you in my inn tonight." I turned to walk back into my guest. And he said, "Sir, we saw out back your stable. Perhaps we could stay in your stable." And I said, "In my stable, you would have your wife sleep in my stable? That would be equivalent to your garage?" He said, "Yes." And he walked to me and he gave me 2 denarii. He said, "2 denarii for your stable tonight." Now, my friends, I am not a greedy man. I am ambitious but not greedy. I called him back and I said, "No, sir, not 2 denarii. No, I could never take 2 denarii. Let me take just 1 denarii. 1 denarii. That's what I said. He took his wife and he went off into the stable, and I went back and was about my business. And business was booming. Business was booming. And finally, later on in the night, there were 3 that came into my establishment. And I could tell, in your words, that these were VIPs. These were very important people. They came in and they had fine dress on. They had rings upon their finger. And as I approached them, I saw their insignia. And I knew right away they were magi. In your terminology, they would be astrologers. Very wealthy, very wise men. And I went over to them and I was wiping my hands upon my smock. And I said, "How can I be of service to you?" Now, you know an innkeeper always holds back that one special room, and I had that night. And I said, "May I put you up in my beautiful room tonight? May I give you food and drink?" And they said, "No, nothing. All we need from you is information." "Information? Gladly," I said. He reached into his purse and he pulled out a gold coin and he put it up there on the table and he pushed it over to me. I reached down to grab it. He put his hand upon mine. He said, "Information, please, first." He said, "We are looking for a child. And we believe that the child would have been born in the last few days, or perhaps the child would even have been born this night. And we have come to you because you have the only establishment for lodging in the town. Do you know where there is such a child? Is such a child in your inn this night?" And I said, "No, not in my inn. I have no children in my inn except for my boy servant here. I have no child such as that." They looked very disappointed. I said, "Wait a minute." And then I reached down and I grabbed that gold coin and poured it closer to me so they couldn't take it back. And I said, "The child you might want is back in my stable." They looked surprised, amazed. They were taken back and they stood and said, "You would have the King of Kings, the Messiah, be born in your stable?" And my friends, I had a laugh. "Do you know how many Messiahs are born in and around Jerusalem every year?" I said, "Yes, the Messiah that you're looking for is back in my stable." And they left. I didn't think anything more of these people who were so fascinated with my stable. All I knew was I was making as much money from my stable that night as from these other rooms. And so I went about my business that night. making money, being very prosperous. My guests all left in the morning, and I slept a little bit, and then we were preparing for the guests as they would come back again that night. There was no one left in my establishment. Everybody was gone. My boy servant and me, we were waiting for that night for the guests to come, and the time came, but the guests did not come. And I was wondering where the guests were. And I went and I opened my doors and I looked up and down the streets of Bethlehem, and there was a strange silence that fell upon the city that night. Playing in the streets, what was going on? I was so busy with my work and becoming prosperous, I did not hear the news. Maybe something was happening, but I did not fear. People have to sleep. People have to eat and drink. They will come to my place this night. So I shut the door and went back in. About an hour later, the door opened and in walked my inn were soldiers. And they were the palace guards of Herod, and they came in and they started searching my inn. And I went to the commander and I says, what do you want of me this night? Can I be of service to you, a place to eat? Would you like some of my finest wine? Nothing, he said. We are looking for a child. And we believe that child may even be born tonight, no older than 2 years of age. Do you have such a child here in your inn? Why do you want such a child, I said. He said, we think that the child is going to be a king, and Herod would like to come down and bow and worship him. I said, as you would say, fat chance of that. He says, you know where this child may be. And he was getting very serious. I said, I do not know where such a child is. We have no children. Look in my inn. We have no children. He pulled his sword and he said, how old is that boy there? I said, that boy is 9 years of age. We could mistake him for 2 years of age. He said, I got my servant boy and put him behind my back. And I says, what do you wish of this child? We have told you. I said, I have no child here that is just born of that age. I have already told you. Then the captain did something that was so persuasive to me when I was a young man wanting to be so prosperous. He reached out and he grabbed my hand and he took it and he put it palm up. And then he reached in his tunic and he pulled out a pouch and put it on my hand of great weight. And my hand sunk underneath the weight. And he said, innkeeper, there are 30 pieces of silver, as much as you would make in an entire year there in that purse. It is silver that comes from the very treasure of King Herod. Tell us where this child is. Instinctively, I found my hand grabbing that purse like that and pulling it close to my breast. And I said, without even thinking, the child you seek perhaps is in the stable. And they left. My God, what have I done? I followed them out, trying to stay out of sight. I watched how they ransacked the stable and then they left. I heard the commander yell out, only 2 years of age and under. God forgive us, only 2 years of age and under. And they dispersed throughout the city. I ran into the stable to see if they had done any harm to this family. When I got into the stable, there was no one there. I looked around and the hay was disheveled and the animals were scattered about. And I looked over and there I saw on one of the rails, have you ever walked and caught something and you were too busy to go back in and retrieve it? And that is what this woman had done, because this long linen that she wore around her was caught on the rail of the stable. I went over and I picked it up, a beautiful piece that it was. I looked down and there in the straw there was this box. Quickly, I picked up the box, I wrapped it up in the linen, and I went back into my inn. I closed the door, and I got my boy servant, and we went to a trap door that I had specially made for such a circumstance as this, and we hid in that trap place with that trap door on top of us all night long. All night long, we heard the screams of Bethlehem. In the morning, we quietly made our way out of that trap place. And I went to the front door and I opened the front door. My God, they're sitting close by my front door were my neighbors. And they had their child in their lap. And the child was dead. And they were sobbing and they were rocking back and forth with their child. My God, for 30 pieces of silver. I went out into the city like a madman, and I was running up and down the streets trying to find this couple to see if the child was born and see if the child was all right. And I searched and I searched. I did not see them very well. I did not have a good description. I could not find them. And finally, I made my way back to my inn, and I walked inside, and I looked down at my feet, and they were covered with blood. And I held my hands up, and I said, God, surely there is blood on these hands. What price prosperity? What price a human life? 30 pieces of silver, a gold coin, and 1 denarii. There was a curse placed upon the city. The pilgrims no longer came to Bethlehem because, as they said, there was no longer children playing and crying. My business fell off drastically. But I did not care. I kind of have lost my drive to be a prosperous man. I used to have purpose, and I was driven before, and now I was not. And so I closed up my inn because I had a hurt deep down inside of me, and I had to go out and find that Bethlehem child because I believed in him I would remove that pain, that guilt that I had. I needed to find forgiveness. And so for 30 years, I traveled everywhere. I was a man that was running away from his problems. I went as far up into Tyre and Sidon. I went into Galilee. I went into Egypt. I went to Samaria. I went everywhere trying to find that child. I never could find that child. And I never could get away from that pain that I had deep within inside of me. Then on one day, I went to the town of Arimathea, a very little town. You do not even know its location today. And I met a man there who became a very good friend of mine. His name was Joseph. He was so prominent that they referred to him as Joseph of Arimathea. We talked back and forth. He was a very learned man, a very wise man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin down there in Jerusalem, so close to Bethlehem. And I said, Joseph, I am looking for forgiveness. I am looking for the child of Bethlehem. He said, my friend, I am looking for the kingdom of God. I said, Joseph of Arimathea, do you know where I can find this child? He said, there is one down in the River Jordan that you may go to. And there he might help you find this child of Bethlehem. And so I did as Joseph said. I walked the River Jordan. And it was a winding river. It went here and it went there. And I was very old and very weak. And I followed the river as far as I could, almost getting down into Jerusalem. And there I came upon a splendid sight. There in the water was a very peculiar looking man, and he was about the same age as the Bethlehem child, I thought to myself. And he was preaching such a simple gospel. Now, I had been everywhere in the world. I had heard the great philosophers that came down from Athens. I had heard the learned priests there in Jerusalem speak. I had heard the rabbis, but I had never heard one speak like this with such great authority. His message was simple. Repent, he said, and turn from this perverse and crooked generation and give your lives to God and come be baptized. And being a very old man, before I knew it, I found myself in line with all of these other people to be baptized. And I waited my turn, and I thought at last I had come to the Bethlehem child, and I thought perhaps at last I would have this pain washed from my soul. And I stood before him and I said, John, baptize me with a baptism that will take this pain from me, that will give me forgiveness. My friends, he lowered me down in the water, and when he raised me up for a moment, I was a new man. But all of a sudden, this pain and this dread came back over me again. And I said, John, you have not cleansed me from this pain that I have. I seek a forgiveness that not only you cannot even give me. And he said, the one that you are seeking, I am not even worthy to untie his laces to his sandals. The one you are seeking, baptized with the Spirit, I baptize only with the water. The Bethlehem child that you are seeking has gone off into Jerusalem, into Galilee to begin his ministry. 4 days, my friends, I traveled all over Galilee. I traveled all the cities, Capernaum, Nazareth, everywhere, all around the Sea of Galilee. I followed the River Jordan all the way down to what came to the Dead Sea. I went through Samaria. I went everywhere. And I never could find this Bethlehem child that was now being proclaimed as the Messiah. Here and here and here. I always ran into people who had met him, but I never could. They talked about how he would take his hands and lay them upon the blind and the blind could see. They talked about how he would take these healing hands and lay them upon a leper and the leper would become cleansed. They talked about the great way that he preached, how he took on the authorities of his day. They talked about surely this was a man of God. They talked about how he came with a gospel of love and a gospel of forgiveness. And I said to one, do you think he can forgive me? And he said, man, he can forgive anyone who repents of their sins. For 3 years, I traveled all over. And finally, I decided that my best and my last chance was to go down into Passover there in Jerusalem. And there I surely will meet the Bethlehem child. On my way down, I contracted the fever. And I did not get down into Jerusalem until the day after Passover. It was a Friday. And I walked into that great and holy city that should be teeming with life, and all the streets were empty. I made my way to the temple, and I went into the court of the Gentiles, and there was no one there. I went into the court of the men, and there was no one there. I went into the big plaza that was there before the Holy of Holies, and I only saw a scribe walking across. That was all that was in the temple. I went to him, and I said, sir, where is everybody? They said, they are up on the hill of the skull. I said, the hill of the skull, you mean Golgotha? They said, correct. I said, why is everyone there today? He said, there is an execution there today. I said, an execution of who? Three men. He said, yes, and a very sinister laugh. He said, yes, and one claiming to be the Messiah. And he laughed and walked away. I said, my God, how could you have done this to me? Has my sin been so hideous that you would cause me to have this pain throughout my life? And now when I find the Bethlehem child, you would allow him to be crucified. And as fast as I could, I made my way through the streets. I got to the hill of the skull, and I began to part the mourners as I got up to the hill, and I got up to the hill, and I finally came to the top of the hill, and there they were being crucified. I know men should not cry, or at least in my day, but I was an old man and I wept. How would I receive forgiveness for what I had done? I looked over to the side, and there sitting with another man, with Joseph of Arimathea. I said, Joseph, it is I, Joseph of Arimathea. How could they have done this? Has all the world gone mad? And we embraced as two men. And we wept. And I sat down there with Joseph of Arimathea and his friend Nicodemus. And I saw the young woman who came to my inn that night, an older woman now. For 3 hours, we sat there from your 12 o'clock to 3 in the afternoon. I reached into my tunic. And I pulled out that purse, 30 pieces of silver. And I held it up to him high. And I said, Bethlehem child, please forgive me. He looked down from the cross and to those who executed him. And to me and to all of you, he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. At that very moment, the pain left me. At that very moment, this sin that I had been living with for over 30-some years left me. And I felt cleansed inside. I felt at the age of 75 that I was a new man. They began to bring the body down from the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea said, we are not going to allow them to take the body and make a spectacle of it in the city. I'm going to go to Herod, and I'm going to get an order that we can have his body. And Joseph of Arimathea left to go not to Herod, but to Pilate to get that rid of order. I said I had to do something myself, something I must do, and I left and I came back. When I came back, when I concluded my business, I looked at the cross. And there was Joseph of Arimathea, there was Nicodemus, there was his mother, who brought him into this world as a child. And I walked over to them, and I pulled out of my sack things that I had been carrying all these years. I said, Joseph of Arimathea, take this linen that his mother wore when he was born and wrap his body in it for burial. And take this box that I found there in my stable. It is filled with myrrh that can be used for his burial. But more importantly, Joseph of Arimathea, take this empty purse. And I dropped it at the foot of the cross. It was empty. I said, I have gone to a garden that I knew close by, and I have purchased a tomb that no one has ever been in for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph of Arimathea, allow me to do this. I did not receive him in birth. Allow me to receive him in death. And so, my friends, they wrapped up the body of our Lord, and they carried him to this tomb. And I saw the very place, and I saw them put that large stone in front of it. And we all wept. And then on the morning of the third day, something inside of me compelled me to go back there. I could not believe that it was end. I could not believe that God had brought us to this point to say that it was over, that everything died with the Bethlehem child there upon the cross. And as I am going on the morning of the third day, women come running past me, and they are praising God, and they are saying, He is risen. I go a little bit further, and here comes his disciples saying the same thing. I don't know what is taking place, but I am caught up in it. I'm saying, praise God. I get to the tomb, and the stone is rolled away. And I go inside, and I look, and it is empty. And my first thought was, he's gone again. I cannot see him. And I went outside of that tomb, and I stood weeping for joy. And then he appeared to me, as he appeared to many, as the gospel writers tell you. I fell down before him and I worshiped him. And I got up and I said, Bethlehem child, Lord Jesus, what do you ask me to do? And he said, I ask of you that you believe in me and go as long as you have breath in your body, tell your story. Tell your story. Tell your story. And what is my story? This that I have unraveled for you? No. My story is this. As surely as God was at my doorway to my inn there in Bethlehem, God is at the doorway of your hearts this very day. And I can guarantee you this, that if you open up the doorway to your hearts and the doorway to your homes, and you let this child of Bethlehem come into your life every day of your life, not just on one day of the year. I guarantee you that your hearts will be full and your tombs will be empty. My friends, I lived all my life thinking that God had forgot about me, but he had not. He was using me for his divine plan to come into this world. My friends, Jesus is knocking at your door and my door this very day. Do not do as I did then. Open up your hearts. Open up your doors. Open up your lives. And allow the King of Kings to come in. My friends, in my day, when the people heard a great news, they would always say, praise the Lord. In my day, when the people heard good news, and it was good news to them, they always said, praise the Lord. In my day, when the people heard a good news, and they wanted to share that with others, they would always say, praise the Lord.